The following is a production of Galactic Netcasts.
This episode of the Podcast of Terror is brought to you by frequent guest Matt Vincent. Use our coupon code KICK15 for 15% off your order at thehate.com. That's THEHVIII.com. Welcome to another episode of the Podcast of Terror, a production of Galactic Netcasts. I am your host, Matt Stein, and with me, as always, is my old pal, Corey Scott. Corey, how are you?
I am old. How are you doing?
Good. I'm not that old. Like, I'm moderately old, but I'm not terribly old.
No, you remind me all the time how much younger than me you are, and I appreciate that as I inch closer to death.
Sweet death takes us all eventually. For more on this podcast, including show notes, contact information, subscription links, go to gncast.com/pot. For the other great shows from Galactic Netcast, go to gncast.com. No pot. This is spoiler heavy. We're going to be talking about Cooties a little later. If you haven't seen it, I suggest you watch it now. We also like to swear. Now, before we get into everything, we had a last-minute guest that I am especially excited about. Corey was a little confused because of his old age, but we actually have Derek Herbert, the CEO of Masterfully Macabre Entertainment, who's currently doing an Indiegogo for a Kane Hodder documentary, which I had talked about a couple episodes ago, simply because I backed it, and this came about very abruptly. So we're recording on Sunday, the 15th. On Friday the 13th, they did some revamping, which I'll let Derek get into a little more, but I just kind of emailed him and I said, hey, if you got nothing better to do on a Sunday, you want to waste some time with us? And he said yes, surprisingly. So, last minute addition to the show, Derek, how are you?
I'm doing well. I'm happy to be here. You know, it's great. Thank you guys for having me.
Thank you for coming on. The fact that you could be doing literally anything else other than talking to two random guys on the internet about some B-rate movie means a lot to us. So before we do anything else, I would like you to talk about your Indiegogo, your company, everything you want to accomplish. I know you guys are on the home stretch, and we really want to get you over your goal.
All right, awesome. Well, what we are is Masterfully Macabre Entertainment. We were founded to do pretty much what we're doing with this documentary, which is create like a niche horror films, both narrative and documentary. The documentaries will be hopefully numerous and featuring on one personality in particular, utilizing the basic format we're doing for Kane's, which is lots of amazing colleagues, lots of family, lots of friends put together in a movie, you know, that is just as much about horror as it is about there are other aspects of their life. In Kane's, it happens to be he was bullied, burned, and his rise to fame afterwards. But with other people, you know, it will be different, but it hopefully will continue the human interest element. But in addition to that, we're doing two other narrative films, one that's like a sort of a found footage movie, but a horror, but it's sort of like a different take on it. And the other we're calling like the opposite of The Purge, where you're safer outside or in an open environment than you are closed off because of the way the particular killer works. So that one is more of a slasher movie, and we're in the early stages of producing that as well as a reality show that we want to do, which is about more to do with some of the women in horror. But I'm going to wait on that one because I like that idea and I want to make sure no one takes it. But I just, honestly, I've been a horror fan my whole life, and horror is like not just a way of, you know, not just movies. It's in our blood here at Masterfully Macabre. That's what we love to do. And with this Indiegogo for the movie Telling Back the Kane Hodder Story, we're trying to bring awareness to the film, to give back to the burn center that ultimately saved Kane's life. Now, when Kane was burned, and the trailer alludes to that, he was burned with third-degree burns over 50% of his body. He was brought to just a regular hospital in Nevada. The doctor was horrible, did not know how to treat burns, and he got staph infections just made worse and worse and worse. And on death's door, he was brought to the Bothan Burn Center in San Francisco, and they're the ones who really saved him. And that's why, you know, it means so much to Kane and us to give back to them, and that's what we're doing with this podcast, and or with this Indiegogo. The, Truly, the campaign is designed All right.
Don't worry, my dogs do it too. It happens.
Yeah, truly the campaign is designed around, you know, making, optimizing the fact that we get the most out of, you know, out of this movie. We want to give back to the fans, we want to give back to the Burn Center, and we want people to know this movie exists, because that's obviously the biggest thing, is we need to get people to know it exists and know his story, because I think he's been through a lot of amazing things, and we want this story to get out there. Yeah. In visual form. Yeah. Obviously, he wrote the book, but this is different.
Yeah, it's a crazy story. And anyone who's into horror knows who Kane Hodder is. Even if you're like kind of into horror, you still know who Kane Hodder is, and I think that makes it that much cooler. And the fact that your perks are just so badass, I'm really excited to get a signed machete and hockey mask to put on my wall, which my wife will shake her head at, and I'll tell her to deal with it. But as of today, you guys have 28,800 and some change of your 50,000, so 9 days. If you're listening to this and you have not backed it, please go back it now. You can skip a paycheck. Just put it into this movie. Make us,
yeah,
all,
and you
happier.
Don't even have to skip a paycheck. I mean, there's all levels of rewards here, and all of them are cool. I mean, you can stream the movie for $5, which is on average what you would pay to stream a film anyways. But if you jump up to $15, you can get the DVD. I mean, that's less than what more DVDs are these days. $5 more, you get the Blu-ray. It's incredibly inexpensive to be a part of this. And like Matt was saying, there's a lot of things on here that are special things, like the hockey mask, the T-shirts, things that are not going to be repeated again, things that you won't be able to get any other time. You can go all out and spend a day on the set. There's a lot of amazing stuff. So it's important to realize that at any level, you can help support this and get some really cool shit out of it.
My favorite is Drinks with Kane. Now, we were talking about this pre-show when I contacted Derek. I said, we kind of encourage drinking because Corey thinks I'm an alcoholic, as I slur my words. But I noticed that Derek is drinking PBR. Now, I want Derek to explain why he's drinking PBR.
PBR happens to be Kane's favorite beer. And a lot of people are going to scoff at that, especially people who understand. Like, Kane's a millionaire. Kane can drink whatever beer he wants, but Kane grew up in Nevada with, you know, his family didn't have a ton, so he still holds on, like, some things about him are still sort of whatever. He doesn't care enough to drink a different beer because he likes Pabst. So that's sort of how, you know, on set we would drink this after the final shot, and I started drinking it, and now I have to say it's a crap beer, but it's the best, in my opinion, of the crap beers. Like, if I'm going to drink a beer that isn't, you know, higher end, I'm going to go with Pabst because it at least doesn't taste as bad. I had I think it was a Coors the other day, and it was awful. I'm not a big fan of, like, Bud or Coors or Miller, but I know you like Miller, so
well,
I won't criticize it.
No, it's my wife's a big Coors fan, and I will drink Coors. It's like water. High Life is my jam, but High Life was better than it used to be. You know, we could go, this isn't a beer podcast, and that's not what we're here, but I did not drink High Life. I'm drinking something delicious. Yeah, so, man, there's...
What we did, just to get into a little more of what Corey was saying, mm-hmm. We did recently revamp the perks for Friday the 13th because we wanted to get... We had heard feedback from a lot of fans who said... that they wanted to get specific perks or that things were, you know, not necessarily too expensive, but sort of like what would motivate us almost to buy the movie now as opposed to waiting until it comes out. And since we don't have distribution yet, we can't give a definitive release date. We say it's coming out and we're hoping late spring 2017, but that's a long way away. So a lot of people, you know, put... You know, at the beginning it was like it was 55 for a DVD. Now it's 15 because it was like we had based it on pricing for a documentary with distribution that, you know, and now we realize like we got to motivate people to buy it. And so we're offering it at a price they're never going to be able to get again, at least not until the movie's probably been out for a couple of years. And we're just, you know, because when it comes out, we're assuming it's going to be priced at like $20 a DVD, you know, $25 a Blu-ray. But obviously the distributor decides that, but we wanted to offer it at a price that motivates people to buy now. And also, you know, we cleaned it up so that it's very clear what you're getting. You know, even the Superfan package, there used to be things in there like thank yous and a lot more random options with Twitter and behind the scenes, and we're going to offer that anyway, so why don't we just throw it out of putting it in there? You know, if somebody buys a huge package, they're going to get tweeted out about anyway by us thanked. They're going to be we're going to be offering behind the scenes content to anybody who contributes. So it's like, why don't we just clean it up and make it a list of like DVD, T-shirt, poster, or signed, you know, and that way it's easier for people to see what they get. And it's worked out very well. I think the streamlined look of everything has definitely helped us instead of getting too fancy with it.
I was a little upset to see that the 30-second Skype threat was gone because I serious consideration of that. But I guess. I don't know, maybe Kane's into that. I don't know. You know Kane. I don't.
I will say this. If anybody wants a perk and they don't see it, shoot us a message. There is such a thing on Indiegogo as secret perks. We can also add perks at any time. So if somebody has a really good idea, you know, they're like, we want to put in, you know, a certain, like, tell us what you want and we'll come up with a price that we think is fair. And, you know, and if it sounds like something you want, we'll put it up. Like, honestly, we're not opposed to doing that. There are certain things Kane, you know, won't do for whatever reason or can't do because of his schedule, but if we can accommodate it, we'll definitely try.
So
the Skype threats one we just deleted because we felt it was taking – we wanted to streamline the spacing. Mm-hmm. So there's less options and easier to decide. You give people 1,000 options and they never pick one. If you give them 10 options, they'll pick something. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was a really unique option to your story. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I liked that too. I liked that. I liked I still love all the perks, and I still would be happy to put them back if people want them. There was a Skype threat. There was a Kane writes a dating ad for you.
Yes.
Where Kane, there was that one. There was a Kane's killer cut where he would literally, on video, take a machete to your Blu-ray, and then you would get a digital download and mailed the pieces of the Blu-ray signed by Kane. That one's kind of crazy. We didn't know if it would go, but I still like it. I still think it's kind of cool.
Yeah, they're definitely unique. Now, how much do you think it would cost if I wanted Kane to be my partner in a pizza eating challenge? I mean, does he like pizza?
He does like pizza.
All right. That's a good step in the right direction.
Yeah, that's a good question. If you actually want to do that, let us know, and we'll figure out a pricing on it.
I mean, you know, I'm curious, but the reality of it actually happening are slim to none. But I guess I would be curious how much it would cost for Kane Hodder to enter a pizza eating contest with me. I'd be better off just saying, hey, I'll just purchase you a pizza and we can share it over candlelit dinner.
Honestly, probably, because it'd be a lot easier to go to the convention and say, hey, I want to do a pizza eating contest with you right now. I don't think you can do it. And then believe me, if you say that to him, he'll do it.
Then that could also be in the same spirit of the drinks with Kane option, which is Instead of going to a bar, you take him to a pizzeria and you make sure that the pizzeria serves PBR.
True, agreed. So if that's something you want, we'll keep that at the same price. So $750 if anyone wants to eat pizza with Kane too, or a burger or whatever you want. Do a contest with him.
It's not a bad idea. Now, I would take him on a Pabst brewery tour if he's interested. I know he comes to Milwaukee for conventions somewhat often. Unfortunately, I have yet to meet him, but that is my life's goal.
Well, maybe we'll get to Milwaukee when we're promoting the movie, and I'll do a Pabst tour because it'd be entertaining. I would love to see. I went on one for Sam Adams Brewery when we were filming this movie, and we were up in Salem, New Hampshire at his tattoo parlor. One of his childhood friends met us there, and we did interviews up there. And we stayed the night because we did them after the shop closed. And on the way back to Connecticut, where I'm originally from, and I have family where we stayed, we stopped and did the Sam Adams tour. And it was pretty cool to see how they made beers and get some free ones. And
we did Central Waters. I don't think you can get Central Waters up by you. It's a craft brew in Milwaukee. But we had a really cool tour guide, but they do the scene from I Love Lucy where they put the glove on the beer bottle and all that stuff, and everyone sings. And
that's pretty cool.
It's enjoyable. Man. So if you make it to Milwaukee, I would be more than happy to take you to a couple breweries if you have time, get you some not PBR, but I'll still send you home with some PBR straight from the source, and a little tap of PBR in Milwaukee. A question I do have for you regarding your documentary, like, how did you get a hold of all of these people?
Okay, so that everyone's been asking it, and it's a great question, honestly. The best answer is it was a combination effort between Kane and my producer, Andrew Barcello, who is an entertainment attorney as well, and he reached out to a lot of their managers and anybody who, you know, it was always directly from Kane. Kane would usually talk to the person, and then the person would put us in contact with their manager. But it was always like, well, not all the time. Most of the time that's how it worked is like Kane would say, you know, Sid Haig, like, do you want to do an interview for this? And he would be like, of course. And then we would like work at it. Now, some people we went on location, you know, we did Felissa, Rose, Bill Moseley, and Sid Haig while we were in Indianapolis convention. We did Robert Englund and Zach Galligan in Atlanta, you know, and Tate Steinsick we did in Atlanta. And a lot of the other people just came to various places in LA or we went to them. Mm-hmm. You know, ended up going to Ted White's house, and he has this beautiful home up in Woodland Hills area of LA. And it was just this beautiful, like, huge backyard. He used to have a stunt school in his own backyard. And this man is, you know, just turned 90 and is like was still doing stunts at the time, like coordination. He has since retired, I think, completely. I think he finally did his last convention with Kane a couple weeks ago because he thinks at 90 he should retire. But Kane's trying to get him to stop the idea of retirement altogether and you know, retire from doing stunts, retire from coordinating, but one or two conventions a year. People love to see him. Mm-hmm. You know, it keeps you young in a lot of ways to get out there and meet fans and see how much you mean to people. I'm sure it feels great. Even the support we've been getting on the documentary, it feels so good to know that people like what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. So how did you meet Kane then? Because it sounds like a lot of this came about just from your friendship with him.
Exactly, yeah. Well, I met Kane. First of all, I read his book, and I had seen videos online of you know, him giving brief discussions of his story. And I was very intrigued, and I passed along all of those to my best friend and attorney, Andrew, and he read the book, and he went watched the videos, and the same thing. We were both like, this is who we want to do the documentary on. You know, we think he's a great candidate. His story is incredible. You know, it's very hard to read a lot of times, very hard to listen to. We want to be the ones to bring this to fruition. And we were honestly shocked no one else had already. You know, but we got in touch with his manager, Judy, and we ended up talking with her. And she, after we negotiated the story rights to the story and came upon a number we could all agree on, she was 100% gung-ho about connecting us with Kane and seeing if we'd be a good match. And we met him for lunch one time, and it was pretty much like, if you can get started by June 15th of last year, we could start filming by June 15th, I'm in. Because he had been promised by some other people, you know, in years past of non-documentary movies, like, we're going to start filming now. And, you know, he never believes it until you give him, you know, a start date. You tell him, we need you here at this time. So now, like, we agreed to it and we made it happen. And we've been filming on and off ever since. It's going to be a year in June.
So, wow, so you said you're almost done filming, yet you're just doing the Indiegogo now. That's kind of ass backwards, isn't it?
Because the Indiegogo is more designed to raise awareness than it is to raise money.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it does do that. A lot of ways it's like we wanted to get it to a point where we had a great content to put together a trailer that was strong. We wanted to be able to give back to the Burn Center. If we had done this earlier on, you know, the movie is not in post yet. Well, it is in post, but it's in the early part of post-production, and we're finishing up production, starting post, and then also, you know, it's going to take about 4 months when we get into hardcore post to get the movie done, but then obviously we want to get into conventions and every, or not conventions, to film festivals and try to, like a big one like Tribeca or Sundance, and try to sell the movie to, you know, a distributor who's not necessarily a small one, but it's whatever's best for the movie, honestly.
Yeah, and plus, I mean, the nice thing, and this is always a worry with crowdsourced funding, is that people see these things, they go, oh, I want to support this, but is this actually going to really happen? And the fact that you guys are so far along shows that nobody should feel kind of anxious about whether or not they're going to get their stuff. This is something that is happening, and the support is to... I mean, like you pointed out, you'll probably get a better deal than if you wait for the official release afterwards, and then there's special things that you wouldn't get otherwise. And the fact that a lot of it is to also support the place that took care of Kane when he had his burns, which I thought was very nice, and I appreciate.
Yeah, we wanted to give back. I mean, it was important to Kane. It's important to us to make sure that, you know, we represent, you know, the burn survivors and the place that saved his life. And I mean, honestly, yeah, like a lot of people, like you said, a lot of these campaigns, you know, they never come to anything, or, you know, you end up with a piece of crap. But people can see through a lot of different videos where we put out and we're going to put out the quality of footage we have. And it's all this quality. And we have, you know, the whole movie was shot in 4K. It's going to be delivered in 4K to the distributor and, like, at festivals. So it's beautiful footage. It's shot, it was lit very cinematically. We didn't want to shoot a documentary in lighting and stuff. We wanted to be able to film, you know, something that was something that looked like an actual movie.
I appreciate that you already have it done, because I've been a victim of getting screwed in crowdfunding, yet I still fund them. It might be my own damn fault, but such is life. I do want to point out that Corey was making fun of me for my love of the Insane Clown Posse before you were able to get on the call, and Twisted's in this movie, so fuck you, Corey.
Yeah, you gave me the education of what Twisted is compared to ICP.
I did.
First time we talked about this.
Yeah.
Kane is a huge fan of both ICP and Twisted.
Which makes sense. Twisted was always very horror-oriented.
Yeah.
Which I
and
think
honestly,
was...
of the two, I do prefer Twisted just because...
Same here.
They,
now, at this point.
I don't know. I'm not a huge fan of rap in general, but I think Twisted, since because of that, I think Twisted is more hip-hop than rap in a lot of ways, where there is more music in it. And so, to be fair, I haven't done a ton of listening to either, but I think that, you know, maybe it's because I met Twisted. Maybe that's why. Maybe, you know, the fact they did the interview.
Yeah. Yeah, they did just finish a tour with, like, an entire band, too.
Yeah, they've been going crazy.
Yeah.
The night we saw them, we were upstairs in the behind where they were going to perform. It was at Rock and Shot Convention this past year in Massachusetts in early October. And we were in Worcester, Massachusetts, to do their interview and their bodyguard, because they all know Kane, and also just to, you know, go to Rock and Shock and kind of see that convention. And they did an entire, like, it was an entire show called for Twisted. Like, it was like 30 bands or something, both bands and rap groups all performing before Twisted, and Twisted was the finale. And they did like a 40-minute set, and then they left. And then they apparently left and did another show that night. They did an after-party show for all the VIP ticket holders. So they left after our interview and did another whole set. I think they did an hour and a half set that time, too.
Jesus.
Not 40 minutes.
Oh, damn. Decapitated was there. Sorry, I'm looking at the Rock and Shock lineup. Holy shit, it's a whole weekend. Wow. Got to get out to this thing sometime.
Yeah, it was pretty big.
Oh,
Twisted was in this, like, mausoleum, like, literally big, like, set thing built in the corner of one of the convention centers.
God, they always had really awesome sets and stuff from what I remember. I mean, it's been a very long time since I've seen him, but it was a show, you know, and that's what I appreciated about it.
Yeah, they're definitely fun, and they're very nice guys in real life, and they really care about Kanan.
That's awesome. And it's nice to hear celebrities, whatever you want to take that term, being like good human beings. Too often they're dicks. Like Danzig. I hear he's a dick. He was also at Rocket Shock. But, yeah, is there anything else you want to talk about before we start talking about this movie?
Not really. I mean, I think it's just, you know, please contribute whatever you guys can and share the project. We need to we want to hit our goal, obviously, and give back as well as jump back into what we love, which is production. We've been, geared up for this thing for since, late October. We've been prepping the Indiegogo.
Cool.
And we're all ready to we're all ready to stop doing it now. just because it's been an insane amount of stress, but it's, you know, good stress. We know we're very happy people are into it. It's just we need to, you know, to constantly keep having to push people to it. It'll be nice when we're focused again on filming the documentary, finishing it up, and really pushing this into post production, and not having to spend all of our time coming up with videos and content, which is awesome, and I'm glad we get to do it. But, you know, it's different. It'll be much more relaxed when it's over. So, just help us make the goal in general. We want to get this movie out to you. We promise we'll make sure fans get to see it.
Awesome.
No matter what distribution happens, we'll make sure that there's always going to be a way for fans to see it.
Awesome. We'll have a link in the show notes. We'll surely be tweeting it out over the next 9 days to help you guys hit that goal.
Awesome.
So yeah, I wish I could blame Corey for making us watch this movie, Cooties, but it was actually my pick, and I don't really know what I watched. I think I just watched Dwight Schrute sing one-liners while the zombie children ran around. But I guess, Corey, you might have a better idea of what this movie was actually about, because I was eating while I watched it, so...
Well, there were definitely moments where it seemed like Rainn Wilson was trying to channel Ash from the Evil Dead movies and certainly Army of Darkness. When things start to come to a head and they make their escape from the school, I really felt like that was where we hit our Ash moment of what they were trying to get to. But in a lot of ways, I kind of thought of this more from the angle of Elijah Wood as being the unofficial sequel to The Faculty, which was...
Oh, I forgot he was in that movie.
Yeah, a movie where the teaching staff at a school kind of all get infected by some space alien thing and start... And the kids do, too. This was the reverse of that, and I think that there had to have been some sort of tongue-in-cheek aspect to having him come back to this kind of project later on, although this leaned much more heavily on comedy than that one did.
Yeah. I guess what I really wanted out of this movie was, I wanted it to be chock full of hilarity. And there just wasn't that many great jokes. There was just a lot of forced one-liners. And Derek, I know you said you only got to see so much of it, which I can go on a whim and say that you didn't miss shit by not seeing the end. But I guess I'm curious of what your take was on this.
Well, I mean, I do love the cast. I mean, Rainn Wilson is, I'm a huge Office fan, and I think he's always good. But I do agree with you guys that a lot of it was forced. I mean, it wasn't a bad movie, but it was just, you know, I think it wasted its cast, honestly. It had a very good cast of people who could be really funny. And it kind of didn't know what it was all the time.
The people really were more comic actors in the cast than anything else.
It's just the names here, you know. You have Elijah Wood and Rainn Wilson, Alison Pill, who's funny or dramatic very well. She's on that show, The Family, that's just was canceled, unfortunately. But then there's Jack McBrayer from 30 Rock. You know, you have all these people from SNL, you know. And then, you know, I don't know. It just kind of fell apart.
Yeah, I guess when you have a cast that is that stacked, you really expect something special. And it fell really short, which it's a damn shame, because we've been sitting on this movie for a while and waiting to watch it. And finally, I just said, fuck it, we're going to watch it. And I feel really let down.
Yeah, it was short. You know, it's only 88 minutes.
Yeah.
But still, 88 minutes can feel, it can be a long enough movie if the movie's like, I don't know. If the pacing's done right, it can be perfect. But yeah, this one kind of felt like it cut it off. It could have been 20 minutes longer, 15 minutes longer, and it might have been better.
Yeah, I don't feel bad that they jumped right into it. I mean, we start with the infection and it gets spread around really quick. So it wasn't like we had a lot of buildup. And I'm okay with that. I wanted to see them dealing with it more, and it seemed like most of the film was them trapped in places, not confronting things. And when we finally get to the point where they do, it gets better, but so much of the time was hide here, find a way to move along. But I guess it's kind of a toss-up too. Like there's a Louis C.K. talk or joke where he was talking about fighting 4-year-olds or something, and he's like, I can kick the shit out of 44-year-olds, and I could do that all day. And that's kind of what I wanted to see from this, is just them beating up on the kids. And from the moment where Rain's character is out on the playground and he's not paying attention, his kids are spreading the infection around, and they kill and start eating a couple of the teachers and then the principal. Then he turns around and sees it, and he starts running through them. I wanted to see more of that. And it does, towards the end, when they're trying to get away, we do get to a point where they are doing more of it. But it didn't seem like it was... Yeah, I wanted to see more kids get killed and beat up. That's what I wanted out of this.
I wanted that, too. As terrible as it is to say, when you see a movie that the premise is based on infected children in a zombie-like state, you just want... I wanted gore. I wanted like a Dead Alive type of gore where there's just like water, blood, shot everywhere, and everything's just really over the top. And you just don't get it. I feel like this could have been the new Americanized Dead Alive, but it just wasn't. Now, Dead Alive had nobody in terms of actors, but, you know.
Yeah, but you think they could take a similar premise and make it work with these big names. I mean, you have, you know, you have all these people in it. You have a great premise. And, you know, it just, I don't think a lot of times horror comedies, they aren't the right mix. There's not, for every, you know, Tucker and Dale versus Evil or Hatchet or a lot of these great movies, there's something that attempts it and fails. Because, you know, there's movies like Slither is the same way. Slither's really good. But then they have these other movies, you know, that don't really know if they're horror, if they're comedy, how much to go each way.
Yeah, they don't go far enough on this. Now, this was co-written by Lee Winnell, who plays Doug in this. He also wrote some of the Saw movies. He wrote the Insidious films and directed them, and he played Specs in them. One of the other writers has written for Scream Queens and Glee. So I think that's kind of what it is the Insidious films certainly are kind of subtle. They don't go really far. The Saw movies definitely go a little bit farther, but you're waiting for the traps in those. And this, I think maybe it was just they weren't sure how far they could go, or maybe that's just how he does it. He doesn't really take things all the way as what we as more generally horror fans want.
I don't know. I think they could have. I do think that they could have either picked. They should have picked a direction more to head with it. If like they should have been either a lot funnier, or if they were going to keep the forced kind of humor, then make it like a lot scarier too. Kind of if they're going to have the cheesy one-liners, then make sure to have a couple beheadings. Make sure to have moments where, you know, people are getting trapped or something. You know, you could do some really cool things with it. But like you said, you only had a few moments of like kids getting mowed down. And it could have been great for that. And I mean, what's funny is the U.S. is very squeamish about kids. That's probably why. Other countries, they kill them off in everything. And the U.S. is like taboo to kill kids in a horror movie.
Well, I mean, Rainn Wilson's worked with James Gunn. He did Super, and Super is not a subtle movie at all.
No.
So it seems like he could have at least... I mean, just as an actor, I don't know how much influence he would have had on the movie, but it seems like he could have pulled more out of this and said, you know, why don't we take this further? None of these people seem afraid of doing this kind of movie. Jack McBrayer has done the filthy comedies with Apatow films. I just don't know why it seems like they held back. I know that there was an alternate ending that's on the DVD for this that you can find, and I don't know if that ending's necessarily any better, but the ending in this, if you made it to it, isn't really an ending. It doesn't seem like it takes us to a final point. It just kind of like, hey, we got away from them here. Oh, now we're someplace else, and we have to kind of figure out how to get away from here, and then they do. And then that just, it kind of stops. So I was a little disappointed by that as well.
I wonder if there was originally supposed to be a sequel.
It seems very likely that there could be, but I just, then that has to be, we just beat the shit out of kids all day.
Well, you think about the fact that you're in a school with teachers, and teachers generally complain about how kids act. So this is a perfect situation for kids who are infected with some sort of virus to take out their frustrations on these kids. And you have a school which is full of equipment, and you know, you're likely going to have a lawnmower. You have gym equipment. You have computer equipment. Like, you can't tell me that you couldn't think of some interesting way to just murder children.
Yeah, and I mean, part of it opens up with Elijah Wood having a conflict with one of the kids, Patriot.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't really give you a finality to that. They don't give you that moment where he feels vindicated by taking him out. It's unfortunate. When Rainn Wilson beats the shit out of one of the kids and basically bludgeons his head, he instantly, and yeah, realistically would feel regret about doing it and takes it hard. But this is the moment that we as the film goers are supposed to get to enjoy this. We get to live vicariously through this very fake moment and enjoy the horrificness of it. That's why you pay for these kinds of movies. That's why you buy into it. And they didn't give us, as viewers, that payoff.
Yeah, it was very... It was underwhelming. Even from like the get-go with the chicken scene at the beginning of the movie, I really had high hopes for it. Because I'm like, if you're going to start off a movie with butchering a chicken, and then you see chicken nuggets being made, and then the kid eating the chicken nugget, and just knowing that that's what's going to cause all this, I feel like it dropped off in terms of it could have just kept ramping up the ridiculous violence and just everything that it was building on, and it just stopped.
I do think the original ending had something to do with the distribution of the chicken nuggets more, and it's kind of like the end of Return of the Living Dead, where all the bodies had come to life because of the rain, and at the end of the movie, they repeat the whole raining thing down in the cemetery to bring more bodies to life after they had bombed the area. So it was kind of showing that it was a perpetual problem, that it wasn't just going to go away. That was originally what they had done with this, and they didn't finish off that way. So I think the original ending may have added more to that. Plus, it also shows a point where Elijah Wood had taken his manuscript and thrown it into a fire when they're gathered around out of town, and decided that he's not a writer, he's actually a teacher. So even then, we would have gotten a more closure than what we got in this.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing with, like, the same kind of thing happens there in Cabin Fever, too, where all of a sudden, you know, the bottled water fact truck drives away from the lake, and you're like, oh, crap, this is going to lead to a sequel. Not that the sequel is necessarily bad, but you know what I mean.
How many Cabin Fever? How many are there now?
I think there's either three or four. Think four.
Yeah, I think the fourth one might have been the one that has, strangely enough, Sean Astin in it.
That one was pretty good. I was very shocked that the fourth one would be the Cabin Fever Patient Zero would actually be good. But, you know, I know the first one of those was the second one was, I think, in the same town. I'm trying to remember the third one.
There was a remake that came out this year?
They're going to, yeah.
Yeah.
Literally the same script, a shot-for-shot remake. It doesn't make any sense. It looks worse, but that's what they decided to do.
Yeah. Our opinion doesn't matter.
But I've met Eli Roth, and he's a very nice guy. And he's, you know, very intelligent. It's just, it literally must have been like that he was asked to do some, literally it's some Spanish company called him and they wanted to invest in it. And they were offering him all this money to like lease his script almost, like just remake it. He's like, okay, it gives him money to make another movie.
Yeah. Yeah, everyone has a price, so I get it. Oh, it comes out. Oh, wait, it already is out? DVD, Blu-ray disc. Oh, July 5th, Australia, April 28th for the remake. Cabin Fever 2 was Spring Fever, came out in 2009, and Patient Zero came out in 2014.
Okay, so there's three.
Three, yeah.
Okay.
So I'm now four with the new one, I guess.
Interesting. So I guess now we have the unique opportunity of a filmmaker here. So if you were to make Cooties, how would you make it better, Derek?
Well, okay, so this is what I would probably do. I would focus, I would probably make it more Shaun of the Dead-like and less, you know, less subtle. I would up the gore. I would up the comedy. I think we have way too many opportunities to make really good jokes that not necessarily jokes about hobbits and nerd stuff is not all we need to do. You know, there's like a lot of good characters and like you guys said, a lot of ways to kill kids in a school. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, you have all this stuff. Plus, whenever in doubt, you have a supply room or a basement.
And which they wind up in, and that's how they do get to their final...
It's true, yeah.
...getaway. But it was a little bit held back. I did like the addition of Mr. Hitachi, the janitor, and how they utilized him. He actually gets the post-credits stinger, which was a funny moment. There were good things of this. I don't want to talk about this movie like it's an absolute piece of shit. The Doug character has inability to interact with other people. He's reading a book at the beginning of how to have normal conversations, and he has these great things where he just kind of shoots his mouth off, and he's like, oh, look, carnage. Or he's talking about how he had a drill bit that was caught in his head, and since then he can't remember how to say certain lawnmowers. And Allison Pill corrects him and says, words. And he goes, yeah, word. And he like thinks it's street. I think there was just not enough comedy. And also, we were spoiled recently by watching a similar kind of throwback to Dead Alive. We watched Deathgasm, which was Australian or New Zealand. Which phenomenal, did not hold back on anything. And I think the only part of it that maybe wasn't fantastic was the demon itself at the end. But in every other aspect of it, it seemed like they got it 100% right. And this, it was maybe too Americanized. It was almost like this could have been PG-13 for the amount of horror and gore we got out of it. I did enjoy the kid getting picked up by his mom and his mom paying no attention to him at all, so he gets in the back seat and infects the infant, and then the infant kills the mother. That was a good moment. I was kind of curious as to what they would do with that.
Yeah, I always like when there's baby zombies. I really do. I remember Dawn of the Dead 2004's remake with that baby zombie. Like, you know, when they take a step, because people aren't expecting it, they think they're going to play it safe. And kids already is a step out of the normal comfort zone, but then baby, yeah. I agree. I don't think it was a complete bad movie. I intend to finish it. It's just one of those things that I just feel like it had a lot of potential and it didn't live up to it compared to other movies. And Deathgasm's on my list. I'm going to have to watch it.
It's such a good movie.
It is really good. It was kind of a surprise finding of like, that was another one we sat on for a long time. And then when we finally watched it, I said, why the shit have we not watched this a billion times in the amount of time that we had to do it? Also, let's be frank. Most of the main cast lives. Uh-huh. And sometimes that's a good thing, sometimes that's a bad thing. It just seemed like it showed that the stakes weren't high enough in what happened in this. And I think that's what this movie really missed, is nobody raised the stakes enough for what would be a much more interesting film. And as far as the comedy, I think all these people can be and have shown that they are really funny, and they went the safest route by following what was probably on the page as opposed to breaking out what they could have done.
Yeah, when I saw that Rainn Wilson had the mustache and was the gym teacher, I once again had very high hopes for what he could do, just seeing other things he's been in. And I don't know. So he had a couple funny one-liners that I giggled at, but it was nothing that, like, I don't remember them. And I feel like that's a big
do
problem.
Do a real. That was a joke that came up too often, but was actually really funny when he first started doing it.
See, I remember now that you said it, that he, when driving away at the end of the movie, they say it, but it's like, what I want in a movie is I want things that I remember to turn around and tell people, and then be like, you gotta see this part of the, you know, and then you ultimately watch the entire movie based on one part. I don't know. I say this a lot, like, I'm not upset that I watched it, but I'll never watch this again.
I will say, the interactions of the teachers and the staff in this, I know that one of the writers on this has written for Glee. It felt like Glee, the faculty portions of it. It felt like kind of that same level of writing, which is just somewhat funny, but so safe and never quite gets to a point where it shows a personality, where it totally invests in the characters or anything else. And I mean, Glee was successful, but I don't think this film was, and there's probably reasons.
This movie's hitting a much different crowd than Glee does.
Well, I don't know. Remember, Glee begat Scream Queens.
Yeah.
But I like Scream Queens a lot.
I feel like Scream Queens is somewhere between this and Glee, but still, you know what I mean? You have two network TV shows, somewhat similar, and then a horror movie, a quote-unquote horror movie that has zero distribution, that really doesn't have a whole lot of publicity. Not a lot of people are talking about this. Like, I stumbled upon it, probably flipping through IMDb, trying to find something for a different movie we did, and that's how I found it.
All right, so I guess we can get to ratings.
Yeah, if you want. We will, Oh, I didn't explain this. Sorry, Derek. I didn't explain this to you. We rate movies on rewatchability, story, and scariness. 0 to 5 scale. Guest has to go first, so you could just rate it on what you've seen of the movie.
Well, I would say rewatchability would be, I don't know, like a 3. I mean, I'm not saying I won't ever rewatch it, but I'm going to have to watch a lot of things before. Once I'll make sure to finish it. Scariness was not scary. Like a 2 or a 1. And then
story.
The story.
Story? I didn't hate the story. I thought it was like probably a 4 for story of what I've seen so far, but it was definitely, it could have been a lot better. The actual story, I think, is pretty strong, but the way they approached it could have been better.
It's a good way to put it. I was having a hard time understanding what the story really was. I mean, outside of what you saw and that being the story, there was no, like, underlying motivation or what they were trying to accomplish. Rewatchability, I'm gonna say a 1. I do not intend to ever watch it again, but I might. Story 2. I was mostly confused. And then scariness is easily a 0.
Yeah. Rewatchability, I'm gonna go 2, because it's one of those things that if it's on cable and I just want something on in the background, I'm perfectly willing to put it on. It's not like it's unwatchable. It's just not something I'm going to seek out. It's not something I'm going to constantly have, like, oh, I want to see that again. Story, I can't criticize it too much because, like I said, I had wanted to write a similar story that was much more a horror film than a comedy film. So I appreciate it from that aspect. So I'll give it a 3. I like some of the pieces about, like, they do create a love triangle, but I felt like they treated it at least somewhat honestly. So I liked some of the character bits with that. I really liked Doug's character. Way to go if you're the writer of this to give yourself the coolest character. Very Kevin Smith of you. And, yeah, scariness was, I'm going to go at least a 1 because kids automatically frighten me, especially when they're sick and snotty and on Ritalin. So...
Awesome. Well, you can contact us by leaving us a voicemail at 805-328-3966, emailing us at pot@gncast.com, or by leaving us a message on the website. You can follow the show on Twitter and Instagram at Podcast of Terror. You can also subscribe to this podcast via iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or any of your favorite podcatchers, and leave us some feedback, 5 stars, please, on whichever one you want. All subscription options and links can be found under the subscription tab at gncast.com. Finally, you can join us on our Facebook group under Galactic Netcasts. Derek, thank you very, very much on short notice for coming on. Super awesome to have you. Where would you like all of the people to follow you and see not only about your Indiegogo for the Kane Hodder story, but everything else that you talked about coming up?
Perfect. We have a Facebook page, which is facebook.com/masterfullymacabre. There's also, if you follow us on Twitter, it's at MasterfullyM. The Twitter was, they required it to be shorter, so we're MasterfullyM. And we have an Instagram, Masterfully, at MasterfullyMacabre. We have website, MasterfullyMacabre.com, which right now is pointing to the Kane movie, which is KaneHodderMovie.com, which is the Indiegogo. We, we have a YouTube, youtube.com/masterfullymacabre, which has all of our videos, including the Kane Hodder announcement video, which is about his retirement from doing violent scenes, or maybe not.
That was
That's
hilarious.
Almost at 65,000 views in 2 days. And then the trailer, everything's up there. Videos like 20 seconds of with Bruce Campbell and Felicia Rose, How Do You Want Kane to Kill You, Kane live on a Kevin and Bean show here in LA. He was also on the Man Cow show, and we're going to hopefully get that up live soon. And a lot of interesting things with this movie, but also hopefully with some big announcements on other projects soon.
Yeah, that's what I'm excited about too, is that this movie looks fantastic, and I'm glad that it's getting the support and stuff that it wants. But some of the other things you're talking about also sound very intriguing to me, and I'm glad that we found you from this so I can see some of those other projects as start to come to fruition.
Yeah, I mean, this is the thing. We want to, the whole point of Master of Macabre is to make great content. And we don't want to be known as the company that makes, crap, makes things that lose money, makes things that... So it's kind of the fine... We are very particular in the stuff we want to bring on board. And we're co-producing all three of them with three different other production companies. And that, all of them are very unique, and none of them are kind of playing on the same feel as this doc. The reality show a little bit, but that is still in early stages. We're hoping to start shooting that pretty soon, though.
Awesome. Well, you have an open invitation to come back at any point. When some of your other stuff comes out, if you want to come back and talk about it, you are more than welcome to join us.
We look forward to actually reviewing some of that
too.
Other stuff.
Yeah, yeah. When your stuff comes out, I plan on reviewing it. So if you want to join for that, you're more than welcome to. But
we are shitty people, though, so just be prepared.
I will pre-vote. Fives on everything.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, if you're here, fives on everything. Or if you plan to listen to it, you'll get fives on everything. I wholeheartedly believe in supporting good people and people who are putting out good things. So you have my stamp of approval for what it's worth. But... thank you once again very much for coming on. It was awesome to meet you and just to hear your story. Corey, where can the people find you on the internet?
I'm real simple. You can find me at donuscomics.com. That is the place where I post and blog for the comics that I'm part of with Levi Krause, and also some of the comics that I write are on there.
Awesome. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Matt the Lifeguard. That'll do it. So once again, thank you for joining us for another episode of the Podcast of Terror. Derek, thank you so much. It was awesome for making this work on short notice. As mentioned earlier, we will have in the show notes the link to the Indiegogo. There's a link to the Masterfully Macabre Facebook, and I'm sure we'll be retweeting a lot of your shit coming up here pretty soon. So thank you very much again, and we will catch you next time on the Podcast of Terror.
Yeah.
Next week we're going to be talking Manos, the Hands of Fate with Galactic Netcasts. I don't know, would you call him a CEO, Corey?
I don't know. I think I'm going to call him a dick for suggesting this movie because I hear it's on the shittiest list of all time.
It is. It is, in fact, on the list of the worst movies of all times. But, yeah, we'll be joined by Dave Nelson.
Tasteful Dave.
Tasteful Dave, the chief dick of Galactic Nodcasts. So thank you again for listening, and we will catch you guys next week.
Stay scary, everybody.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Podcast Tier. You can help Galactic Netcast pay for our web and audio hosting by supporting us on Patreon by going to patreon.com/galacticnetcasts and pledge as little as $1 a month.
You have been listening to a production of Galactic Netcasts. For more about this show and others, go to gncasts.com. That's GNCASTS.com.